Well, good morning and welcome to Church Talk. Bill and Dr. Chris isn't here today. We're on our own. She's been out of town, and so we're doing a solo flight. We're going to do two solo flights, actually. This is the first part of a two-part series on how churches grow, then and now. And we're going to look at, you know, how do churches grow? What has kept them from growing, or what's keeping them from growing today? Let's start with, in this episode, we're going to talk specifically about how church growth worked back in the day. Back about 1955. You know, back in 1955, there was this perception in our culture that we lived in a Christian nation, and everyone either went to church or else they knew they should be in church, one or the other. You know, we'd drive down. I can remember driving, or being driven, actually, as a teenager. Mom and Dad playing out the driveway, and our next-door neighbor was cutting the grass. And the conversation of the car was, well, you know, they normally go to church. They should know. They should be there. Just the norm. Back then, there was denominational brand loyalty. If you were a Methodist, you were always a Methodist. If you were a Catholic, you're always Catholic. Presbyterian, Disciples of Christ, you name it, whatever you were raised in, when you went to a new town, if you moved for whatever reason, were transferred, you looked for a church of the same brand. And even if the worship wasn't exactly what you were expecting, hoping for, you know, maybe the pastor wasn't quite the person you'd hoped he'd be or she'd be, you went anyway because, you know, you were a lifelong Lutheran or a lifelong whatever. And very important, brand loyalty was part of the culture. Christianity and churches and clergy back then all had stellar reputations. In fact, I sometimes wish I'd been raised and became a pastor back then, back when pastors were on the same level professionally as doctors, attorneys, surgeons, you know, we were all in the same class once upon a time. Now, yeah, not so much. Back then, Sundays were sacrosanct. Sundays, you know, they were set aside. Business set Sundays aside. They didn't open. And eventually when they did open, they opened at 11 or 12. So those of us who wanted to go to church could go to church and then, you know, stop in. But there was no sports. There was no nothing. Television. But, you know, back then there was only three channels anyway. So there wasn't a whole lot of competition for the church back in the day. And for many people back in the day, the church was the hub of family and even community activities. We got together for fun, we got together for fellowship with family and friends, and the church was at the core of it. Now, that's still true of some people today, but not so much with those who are younger. So that's the church culture back in 1955, or thereabouts. Back in 1955, no one was studying church growth. Not really, because churches just seemed to naturally grow. So if you, here's an infographic that's on Pinterest, and this is essentially an outline, or if you will follow the arrow, it tells you how churches grew back then. And so here's essentially, this is how church growth worked back in the baby boomer era, back in 1955 and before. First, a denomination would identify a growing suburb, someplace where, you know, people were moving out into that area, and so, oh, we got to have a church. So they would buy some property, and they would build a building, and they'd hire a full-time seminary-trained pastor, put them on site. They would advertise in the newspaper. They might do some direct mail, but mostly they'd advertise in the newspaper and put up a big church sign with the denominational logo and the name of the church prominently displayed, and it had what time worship services were, and they would launch. And on the Sunday they launched, all those Lutherans or Presbyterians or Baptists or whoever that, you know, had been traveling a little bit farther for church now switched over to this neighborhood church. And those who really hadn't, you know, they hadn't really gotten involved, they started coming. And literally, churches back then, they didn't have to do much to start and to grow. They just, you know, build it and they will come. The whole Kevin Costner thing, Field of Dreams, that's pretty much how the church once upon a time, seemed to work. Once the church was established, then it was the pastor's job, if you will, or it was the church's job, to grow or to continue to grow. And, you know, it didn't happen like it has to happen today. Back then, it was pretty natural. Here's how it went. The pastor's primary task was administration and member care. They visited the sick. They visited members, went to dinner, lunch, and dropped in for coffee or whatever. The pastor was out in the community with their members, primarily. And they did church administration. And I don't mean administration like books. I mean administration like they made sure that there were adequate programs going for children, youth, young adults, regular adults, or not young adults anymore, and seniors. And they made sure there was programming for all those people, because if the congregation was happy, then the church grew. Well, how did it grow? Well, the congregation's part was this. Babies were born. That's really pretty much how churches grew. Babies were born. Babies were raised in the church. Babies became teenagers. They got baptized either at birth or, at confirmation. They made a confirmation commitment, or they got baptized as young adults or, the nine-year-olds, as the case may be, so on and so forth. And then they stayed. They didn't move. And if they did move, they would find another of their brand of church. They would, if they were raised Lutheran or Presbyterian, that's the church they went and found when they went to their new area. And most of the young adults who've been raised in church pretty much stayed in the church. The church continued to grow as that suburb continued to expand, new people moved in. When someone was transferred who was your brand, they would come to church because they would go to Lutheran church. And if someone in your congregation moved, they would find, again, their brand. And since the church, back in the 40s and 50s, was in the midst of what became known as the baby boom, churches naturally grew. It was automatic. But it's not 1955 anymore. We don't live in a Christian nation where everyone goes to church. Today, research shows us that at best in most areas, 15%, 17% in one of the highest areas, churched areas in America, which by the way is not Texas and Mississippi, 15% is the average of who will be in church on any given weekend. And those who, if they weren't in church, they knew they should be. Well, today it's sort of reversed. If you're in church, people want to know why. What's the point? Why are you going? Why are you wasting your morning? Denominational brand loyalty? Forget it. Today, most churches are a hodgepodge of, if it's a Lutheran church, there's Presbyterians and Methodists and, et cetera. There's Presbyterian church, there's Baptists, and it just goes on and on. There's just this hodgepodge. No one, or very few people, I should say, are brand conscious anymore. They go where their friends are. They go where the pastor who's preaching a great sermon or the music is right. Or there's lots of reasons why they may get involved in a church that is not their own. I know one couple who got involved in a church that not of their brand because the nursery had hand sanitizer and the church of their own brand didn't. And they said, well, I know that my kid's going to be taken care of here. And that was why they switched. So, really insignificant reasons why people today may not be a part of a particular church, brand loyalty. Back in the day, as I said, Christianity, church, and clergy all carried positive reputations. Yeah, not so much anymore. Sundays, it used to be sacrosanct. Yeah, right. Soccer, baseball, softball. All these kids' sports, family sports, whatever. Every store is open. Every mall is open. It's really hard to compete with Xbox and, 185 channels of whatever you want, plus, the on-demand and et cetera, et cetera. Everything seems to be in direct competition with the church today. For many people, back in the day, it was the hub. The church was the hub. Nah, not so much. Baby boomers especially and younger are involved in other things in their real lives. and they don't go to church 4 or 5 times a week. They don't get as involved. They're not on all the committees or et cetera. You know, they have a life outside the church, whereas once upon a time the church was the life of the community. So that's how churches grew, 1955-ish, and why it's not working today. Part 2, next week, we'll paint some broad strokes of how church growth works in the 21st century. We'll see you next week.